In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. You know, for the most part, the people of God do things like this. Oh, Lord, we're going to be doing all these wonderful things for you. Would you bless our work? And the Word of God says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watch over the city, the watchman walks but in vain, wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives to his beloved in sleep. We have reached in the church in 2011 the experience of God does not and will not bless our work. The only work the Lord will bless will be what he does. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. He will not bless our work. And you know, that does not mean that we do not have works. It just means that our works do not produce fruit. And yet Jesus says, it is my Father's will that you produce fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It is the will of God. But the Lord wants to build the house. The Lord wants to inspire his people. The Lord wants to show us what to do. What we do is we say, we're going to have a program. Lord, will you bless it? And I'm going to tell you, he will bless it accordingly, according to his plan. Is he building the house? Is he watching the city? Is he inspiring this? That's why we are in need of discernment and we are in need of the Holy Spirit. We are in need of discernment and we are in need of the Holy Spirit. God does not want to bless my work. He wants to bless his work. And I need to be in the river of love that I'm flowing, doing his work. Just the other day, we went to Washington, D.C. to see the Bishop of Sudan, Bishop Gassis, Catholic bishop, telling us about the Sudan and the problems of the Sudan. And we went there to see what the Lord wanted. And, you know, people have asked me, Father Tom, why are you going to Washington, D.C. for 12 hours? I said, I'll tell you when I get back. You know, I had no idea why the Lord was sending me to Washington, D.C. for 12 hours. And it was a 12-hour trip. We left. We woke up at about 5:45 in the morning, and we were back by 8 o'clock at night. So it was about a 14-hour trip. And I wondered, I said, why does the Lord have me here? So we listened to the bishop, and he was very interesting and told us his needs and stuff like that, which, you know, we cannot supply his needs. It's too big. But the bishop had a problem with his back. So I said to him, Bishop, I would be very happy if you would let me pray with your back, that God would heal your back. So I did, and he had great relief in his back. So I figured, you know, the reason I came all the way to Washington was to pray for the bishop's back. And if that is God, that's enough. That's enough to pray for the bishop's back. Yes, to get information about the Sudan. Yes, to hear about the terrible things that have happened there. But right now, this man was in need of prayer, and he said, Father, would you pray for me? So we pray for the Bishop of Sudan today. We pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life. We pray that he would be the good shepherd in his area. We pray that God would supply him with all the things that he needs, with all the money that he needs to dig wells, with all the money that he needs to build hospitals, with all the money that he needs to build schools. So we pray for the Bishop of Sudan, Bishop Garcés, and we pray that the Lord would empower him with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I wasn't going to do anything crazy. You know, we had gone to Washington to see the Lord's plan. And at this point, the only plan I could see for me at this point, I'm not telling you that'll be true in 12 days. I'm not telling you that'll be true in 3 weeks. I'm telling you that is what I saw, was that we would pray with the bishop. And also, the man who drove us around, a beautiful man, a cab driver, we prayed with his wife for the pain that she had in her body. You know, so I figured, you know, that's what we're there for right now. Right now, that was the immediate thing the Lord called us to do, and we were faithful to do it. How many times have God called his people? I remember Sister Ruth Heflin, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to pray by the wall. That's all I want you to do, is to pray by the wall. And so she would go. She would pack. She always had her bag packed, and she would go. This time, she didn't even have any money. She didn't even have any money. So the Lord says, go to Jerusalem, and you can catch the flight, and I'll provide you with the money. So she had her bag packed and went down to the airport, whatever airport she went to, and she's got nothing in her hands other than her little bag, and she's wondering how God is going to provide for her to get to Israel. Well, I believe she was in a store just looking at some things, you know. And as she was looking at some things, this man comes up to her and says, I have no idea, but the Lord is asking me to give you this money. It was just the amount of money that she needed to fly to Israel. And what did she go for? She went to pray at the wall. God had told her to go and pray, that he was sending his prophet to go and pray. This is real. This is real, you know. You might say, you know, this is kind of crazy. That couldn't she pray from home? Yeah, she could have prayed from home, but that was not God's will. It was God's will that she would pray from Israel. And it was God's will that someone would help her and that someone would buy her the ticket. You know, that's God. God does what he wants. When we think of the Lord choosing a people, that is one of the greatest things that he did. He chose the people. He chose Israel. He chose Israel, and he chooses the church. And, you know, why does he choose us? That's a question that I've often asked, you know. Why is it that I, by the grace of the living God, was spared from drugs? Why is it that all the kids that I grew up with, almost every one of them have died from either drugs or alcohol? Why is it that I was spared? Why is it that I never even was offered drugs? Why is it that as growing up as a child, I never was offered pornography? I was never offered anything that was evil. I was innocent as a dove, really. God kept me this way. Why is it? Is it because I'm so great? And I'm going to read from chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. It says, For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are on the face of the earth. So God chose Israel to be a special people for himself. Why? The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, but because you were the fewest of people. In other words, God didn't choose you because you were great in number, but you were the fewest of all people. You know, there was no reason why God chose you, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with him that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, what is it all about? Why did God choose you? Because you were the most beautiful? Because you could do great things for him? Because I could do great things for him? No, the Lord chose us because he set his love upon us. For no other reason, he set his love upon us. Not for what we could do for him, but for what he could do for us. Why did God choose me to stay innocent? There is no reason other than the Lord set his love upon me. Why did the Lord choose me, you know, to get on radio for 27 years? There's no reason other than he set his love upon me. He set his covenant love upon me. That this love of God is unreasonable. It is unreasonable. We can always try to reason it out, but it is unreasonable. God chooses the weak of the world to confound the wise. It has always been that way, and it will always be that way. But he raises up the weak so that they become strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is it? Why is it that God chose us? Because he set his love upon us. There is no reason. That's the only reason. Know that I have loved you before the foundation of the earth. Know that my love is not the love of a man, but it is constant. It is absolutely constant. It never stops. I set my covenant love upon you because that's what I desire to do. Not because you're beautiful, not because you're not beautiful, not because you're great, not because you're not great, but because that's what I decide to do. I decide to set my love upon you. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. This is always the great creedal formula of the Old Testament, that God delivered his people from Egypt and the king of Pharaoh. This is the great creedal formula of the Old Testament. When Israel was a child, when we was a child, you know, in Pharaoh's courts, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. That's right. He called his children out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. And what did they do? They sacrificed to the false gods, to the Baals, and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them in my arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I not only called them, but I took them in my arms, but they didn't even know it was me, because they were divided in their hearts. Are you divided in your heart today? Do you have false gods beside the one who gave his life for you, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who rose from the dead? Do you have another God that you serve? You know, be it what people think about you or gaining power or, you know, I called Israel. I loved Israel to be my son. I brought him out of Egypt. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they did not know it was I who healed them. I, God, drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord drew them with bands of love. And I was to them as that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat upon them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but Assyrian shall be his king. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none would exalt him. But this is God. Listen, this is God. How shall I give you up, Ephraim, even though you're worshiping false gods? How can I give you up, even though your heart is divided? Although they call them to the Most High, how shall I give you up? How shall I deliver you, Israel? How shall I make you as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me, my repentance are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will enter into the city, and they shall walk after the Lord, and he shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. So what does he say? You know, you were doing everything wrong. You were doing everything wrong. But I couldn't destroy you. You want to know why? Because I set my love upon you. And my love is irrevocable. No matter what you do or what you don't do, my love is irrevocable. Yes, when you turn away from me, you have to deal with the consequences. You read the book of Judges, it will tell you that every time Israel turned away from God, she suffered, lost in battle, and God raised up judges, they repented, things came to be well, and then she turned again away from the Lord, and what did the Lord do? Let her suffer. But the Lord's love is constant. It will never, ever, ever run short. His covenant love is forever toward us. And you might ask, how I know that? Oh, the blood of Jesus. That's covenant love. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. I know that the love of God will never turn from you because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of the sacrifice, because of the Lord's love for you, that it is constant, that he will not deliver you up for evil, but he will bring good out of everything you're going through. I know that. I know that. I know that. How do I know that? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins. This is the cup of my blood shed for you, my blood that says I shall never leave you nor forsake you, my blood that says I chose you not because you were great, not because you were beautiful, not because you were many, but I set my love upon you. I chose you. That's why I chose you. I chose you because I chose you. Because of the blood, I cannot turn away. I cannot turn away from you. I can never turn away. Even when you walk away from me, I cannot turn away from you because my love is constant. My love is constant, not for what you can give me, but for who I am. For I am God and I am not man. Oh, yes, you deserve to be obliterated. You deserve that. But how could I obliterate you? I see the blood. I see the blood that I shed, that blood of the new and everlasting covenant, that blood that was shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I shall never abandon you because you are my God. You are my children. You are my children washed in the blood of my Son. You are my children washed in the blood of my Son. You are my children. And I have graven you on the palms of my hands. I have graven you on the palms of my hands. I have written you in the heart of Jesus. Oh, yes. When that spear was pierced into the heart of Jesus, your name was written upon the heart of my son. Oh, when water and blood poured forth from his heart, when water and blood poured forth from his heart, oh, I gave birth to a new creation called the church, both Jew and Gentile. I gave birth to a new creation called the church, washed clean in the blood of Lamb, washed clean in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. How do I know he will never leave me nor forsake me? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. And you know, we need to preach the blood. We need to preach the blood. I'm very leery and weary about preachers that will not preach the blood of Jesus. You know, it's all positive thinking. No, the center of the human race, the center of the solar system, is Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Jesus Christ who sheds his blood for us. And that blood is on the altar when we celebrate the Eucharist. That blood is on the altar when we celebrate the Eucharist. It is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It is the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries out with mercy. Oh, the blood of Abel cried out from the earth for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus cries out, shalom, mercy, healing. Be healed by the blood of Jesus now. Be healed by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than righteous Abel. Be healed, be healed, be healed in the name of Jesus. And everything the enemy wrote against you has been canceled and nailed to the cross and blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Be healed in your neck by the blood of Jesus. Be healed in your lower back by the blood of Jesus. Be healed in your sacroiliac by the blood of Jesus. Be healed in your hip by the blood of Jesus. Be healed now in Jesus' name through the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Eyes, be healed. Be healed now by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Eyes, be healed. Throats, be healed by the blood of Jesus. We call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are by grace through the blood of Jesus. How do I know that he'll never stop loving you? How do I know that his love is continuous? How do I know that there's no stopping on his love? How do I know? How do I know? How do I know? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. He washes white as snow. For you are a people unto the Lord your God, and the Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all the people on the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, but that you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you, brought you back out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. It was the blood of the covenant even then that was on the doorposts. And now it's the blood of Jesus that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. You are loved with an everlasting love. How do I know? The blood of Jesus was poured out for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. I do need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. I would not be able to do these things unless I had your help, and I do need it at this time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Tonight, we are going to be at the Holy Redeemer Church in East Boston at 7:45. There will be a healing service. There will not be Mass. 7:45 tonight at the Holy Redeemer Church in East Boston, and you're welcome to come. Between the 5th of July and the 12th of July, we have at Holy Rosary Church in Winthrop the School of the Holy Spirit, creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. And we are inviting you to come and to be part of that because it's going to be wonderful. That's between July 5th and July 12th. The School of the Holy Spirit, creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. Creating an atmosphere. And guess what that atmosphere is? That atmosphere is worship. That atmosphere is praise. That atmosphere is adoration. That atmosphere is the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. So, if you're interested in the School of the Holy Spirit, you dial 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Be healed by the blood of Jesus. Be healed because Jesus healed you by his precious blood in your eyes, in your mouth, in your teeth, in your chin, in your neck, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.